Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland. Thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is talking about the blockade of Cuba. So it's really coming to a crescendo right now, and it can't go on for much longer. The situation's just unsustainable from the Cuban government's point of view. And my God, what's wrong with my nose? That's just revolting. I can't sort it out. Anyway, something's got to give, and the Cuban government has got like no cards left to play. And nobody's riding to the rescue because, we can all live without Cuban rum and Cohiba Supremos. There's been barely rhetorical support from other countries. So they're not getting oil in. Venezuela stopped giving it to them about in January, or selling it to them rather. Jamaica is ending this medical missionary scheme, which was not really philanthropic, as they claim. It was really to raise money for the Cuban government. And it's just revolting. I can't do anything about it. They can't sustain this indefinitely, right? So tourism is cut off. That was a major foreign exchange earner. There's not enough aviation fuel. Would you want to go there on holiday? Because there's no electricity. Either the lifts don't work, the lights don't work in your hotel room, the fridges don't work. They're running out of medicine. Even paracetamol is sold like it's some sort of powerful drug. It was completely lawful, but the pharmacies are almost empty. Agriculture can't manage without much. Without energy, people having to walk everywhere, cycle everywhere, and don't believe the propaganda that they only ever had an excellent healthcare system. Okay, had some healthcare system. You're better off as the average Cuban than the average American because you would get publicly funded healthcare and stuff like that. So the government faces a real chance of implosion because they've got nothing they can do. It's not like Iran; they've got a strong military, or they're not even in that strategically important a position. Cuba is fairly small in area, only got about 10 million people. Iran's much larger in area, about 90 million people, armed to the teeth and can control that choke point. What can Cuba do to pressurize the United States? Nothing. And even countries which are fairly hostile to the United States, like Russia and China and North Korea, they're not suggesting to take any action on behalf of the Cubans. So now the president, Díaz-Canel, he's confirmed that he's in negotiation with the United States, release some political prisoners. There are about 1,200 political prisoners in Cuba. He could release the whole lot. Do they stay in Cuba? Are they allowed to emigrate to the United States, for example? Are they forced to emigrate? Because you might say, I don't want these troublemakers here. They've got to get out. Otherwise, they'll start leading demonstrations. So control is slipping, and that's why Communist Party building was trashed and burnt down the other day. Because this can only go on for so long before there's total implosion. But it's a terrible humanitarian situation with a lack of medicines. It's illegal what they're doing, as the United Nations has voted, because they're trying to suborn another country to change its government to their liking. You like dislike the government of another country. No, it doesn't give you the right to change it, and so on. Now, and I've been to Cuba. I'm a firm anti-communist. I'm a right winger. The Cuban government, I mean, it's not a free country. It's not the most oppressive country, not by a long shot. They haven't executed someone for over 20 years. There's not much torture. I'd be better if there was none, but honestly, there's not much. And I know it's not a free country. Political parties are banned, but that's true in the United Kingdom, for example, and so forth. So I know they don't have real elections. There is a small amount of free expression. If people want to leave the country, they're allowed to leave. If you went back to the 90s, yeah, I would have said it's oppressive, it's totalitarian. It's not anymore, and they've got freedom of religion. So the United States is very cozy with far worse regimes than Saudi Arabia, for example. Hands off Cuba. So what could the Cuban government offer? Say, okay, we'll have elections, we'll unban these political parties, people will have their say. But Trump's not even talking about democracy. He wants regime change. So he wants a government there in Havana, which is amenable to him, which will take orders from Uncle Sam. Why is it like this? Well, obviously, the United States invaded Cuba in 1898 after the USS Maine blew up in Havana Harbor. So there they were. It was aggression against Spain, and they helped foment this rebellion. And indeed, Cuba broke away, really, so the United States could treat it as an informal colony, which to some extent it did. I mean, it's not true they propped up General Fulgencio Batista in the 50s. They even cut off arms sales to him, was one of the re key reasons the 1959 revolution succeeded. And Fidel Castro came in. Remember when Castro seized power in 1959, he was absolutely crystal clear he was not a communist. He was some sort of reformer, maybe left winger, but anti-communist, so he said. But within a year and a half, he's completely changed his tune. Now, Trump really wants to solve Cuba as he sees it, which has been a thorn in the United States side since the presidency of Dwight D. Eisenhower. So remember, he came up with a plan to overthrow the communist government of Cuba and replace it with one that was more amicable towards the United States. Eisenhower didn't go ahead with that. He left the plan to his successor, because John F. Kennedy was coming in. John F. Kennedy chose to go ahead with it, but did it in a half-hearted way. It failed the Bay of Pigs fiasco, humiliation for the United States. And then the United States publicly promised never, ever to invade Cuba. Now, they might just renege on that. I mean, Trump breaks promises all the time. And indeed, they have honored that promise. They very easily could have done. Cuba was in a very feeble position in the 1990s before they opened up to tourism. They've got some small-scale capitalism and stuff like that. But Trump could invade. He might think it would fall quite easily, and he's probably right. But you know, overthrowing a regime is one thing. To install a viable government friendly to you is another. As you've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan, that's a far trickier task. Now, might not that be that difficult because Cuba's an island, because they couldn't have, you know, foreign insurgents, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, come from other countries, and so on. So he might even take some more military, limited military action. No bombing raids. You could kidnap President Díaz-Canel. Some sort of special forces raid. We shall see. But I know things are going to change. The thing is, Cuba confiscated a lot of United States property in 1959 or 60 without compensation. They could maybe strike a deal. You lift the embargo, we pay compensation, whatever percentage of all government revenues go to you until these companies are paid back, restitution of property, something like that. Trump might like that frame as a business deal, and then he will think he's a winner. He achieved something that no other president did. Another thing the United States might want, you know, you're 90 miles from Florida, as they often say, as though somehow little Cuba could be a threat to a behemoth like the United States. They say, we'll promise we'll never, ever allow foreign troops to be stationed here. Remember, there were Soviet troops there until the early 90s. And the whole Cuban Missile Crisis was about the chance of the Soviets positioning their nuclear missiles in Cuba. Of course, it wouldn't make a difference these days because, you know, USA is in range of Chinese and Russian nuclear missiles anyway, plus even submarines anyway, because they will agree never to allow any foreign troops here, okay, or never to buy weaponry except from you or something like that. So the United States could say it's effectively demilitarized, that their military is no better armed than a police force. I'm not sure what else the USA would want out of it. So when he gets bored of the whole Iran situation, the risks get too high there, he turned back to Cuba, where the risks are quite low, even if it was a ground invasion. Hopefully it wouldn't be a forever war, but he might be able to effect regime change without spilling a single drop of blood. Would President Díaz-Canel resign and give way to a president who is more acceptable to President Donald Trump? But the United States does not have the right to pick the president of Cuba. So, yeah, I mean, I say hands off Cuba. It's a dangerous precedent. You know, this economic stranglehold. Russia's tried to do this to like Moldova and Georgia to bully them by holding off a vital resource, particularly oil. Right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, georgecallan7@gmail.com. Goodbye.